God's word for you, Psalm 77, verses 1 to 3. For the director of music, for Jeduthun of Asaph, a psalm. I turned our attention to this psalm on the day after September 11th, back in 2001. It's time now to look at the whole psalm and the message of the Holy Spirit through Asaph, one of David's chief musicians. It was written during King David's reign or early in Solomon's in the years surrounding 970 BC. This is a psalm written to teach us and to give comfort. With my voice I cried out to God, with my voice to God, and he listened to me. On the day when I was distressed, I sought the Lord. At night my hand was stretched out without growing weary, but my soul refused to be comforted. O God, I remember, I groan, I ponder, and my spirit becomes weak. What was it that Asaph suffered that made him cry out like this to God? He had a special position in Israel. David placed the Ark of the Covenant under Asaph's care in its special tent in Jerusalem while Zadok the high priest was still serving at the tabernacle in Gibeon. This bizarre arrangement came about because the sons of Eli had foolishly carried the Ark with them into battle many years before. And they lost the battle. The sons of Eli were killed, and the ark was captured by the Philistines. When the ark was returned, it remained at a village called Kiriath Jearim for 20 years. And although King Saul used it once in battle, it was not removed from Kiriath Jearim until David became king. He brought it with difficulty into Jerusalem to a tent that was not its true tabernacle. It remained there until the temple was completed by King Solomon. Asaph was also one of David's chief musicians, and when he is described in the scriptures as helping to lead worship, which we encounter from time to time, we understand that he did so in the city of Jerusalem, especially before the ark, and not out at the tabernacle, which during David's lifetime, as we said, was never within the city. Was it perhaps this very arrangement that the ark was separate from the holy place and from the Holy of Holies for a whole generation that made this musician ache and cry out and groan before the Lord? Whatever Asaph was going through, he cried out for help. He knew that the Lord was listening and that the Lord heard him. He confesses that he prayed all night long with the usual hands-out posture of Old Testament believers. Here I'm going to actually read a footnote in the devotion, which I almost never do, but I'd like to comment on the hands-out posture of praying. When certain Christians use that same posture today, it often, in fact, maybe nearly always, leaves their fellow worshipers confused, and sometimes with guilty consciences. And it seems to be a we-know-better-than-you posture, or it comes across that way, which should fall solidly within the realm of adiaphora to be avoided, that things that God does not command or forbid, but we shouldn't do. As Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians, this weak brother for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. Therefore, if what I do causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never do it again, so that I will not cause him to fall. Well, back to the psalm. Like Jacob grieving over his son Joseph in the book of Genesis, Asaph refused to be comforted. Even today, there are sometimes those who cannot be comforted. Sometimes this is because of a sin that they have committed, but sometimes it's because of a dark tragedy in their life, especially the loss of a little child or some other burden, and they become inconsolable. When we encounter this, we must, first of all, have a free hand with the gospel, but also comfort them with examples from the Bible. We must avoid subjunctive language such as you should or you ought to or even why can't you, things like that. We should allow their grief to pour out. The time will come for words, but sometimes silent companionship is better than words, like we see in Job 2:13. See how Asaph says, I remember, I groan, I ponder. He needed time. He needed to think through whatever was troubling him. And there are times when we need this too. It isn't always good to try and cheer someone up too quickly. Their grief will come crashing back. So it needs to be expressed. Now, to be the kind of friend who can listen to grief is an uncommon friendship, one out of 1,000 to be gracious, as we hear about in Job 33. The Lord has not forgiven Asaph, and the Lord has not forgotten. I'm sorry, the Lord had not forgotten Asaph, and the Lord has not forgotten you. If you grieve or ache or agonize, don't be afraid to express yourself. The Lord is not gone from your life. He too is listening. He too waits patiently with you, even if nobody else is nearby. He listened to the one on the cross, and he is listening to you as you bear your own cross, and his mercy endures forever. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's word for you.